Prime Minister Winston Churchill said in the 40s, there come a time in the life of a man when destiny taps one at the shoulder to perform a duty that he was born to perform. What a tragedy when that moment comes to find one unprepared. I declare you be prepared. At your Kairos moment, you'll be ready. At the prime of your life, you'll be ready. You will not be disqualified. There also come a time in all of our lives where heaven remembers us, where God remembers us according to his original plan. Today and this week is one of those days. I am talking about divine remembrance, that the Lord said, tell my people to ask me to remember them. I didn't hear you. I said, the Lord said, tell my people to ask me to remember them. Put your hand together and say, Lord, remember me one more time. Something happens when God remembers you. Samson messed up and failed. In the mix of the mess and all that he did wrong, at the end of his life, he prayed one prayer. One prayer. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. One more time. One more time. Strengthen me to make a difference. Remember me according to your original plan. According to the original intent. This is not where I should be. According to your original plan and your blueprint for my life, I'm supposed to have been at a better place. This is not where I should have been right about now. Remember me, Lord, one more time. And the Lord remembered him. God will remember you right now. Let's begin our journey with 2 Samuel, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse.
And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth. He was born to be king. He was born into royalty. Royalty was in his blood. He was destined to sit on the throne. He was destined to eat at the king's table and to live in the palace of the king. That was the original plan. But something disadvantaged him. His grandfather died in the battle, and his father fell at the battle. And as a result of that, he was disinherited and dispossessed and cut out of the royal line and blood, was set aside, had no hope. And he was destined to be killed prematurely because he had an uncle who was called by the same name, the son of Saul, Mephibosheth, who took over when Saul died. When Saul died, David didn't become king automatically. One of Saul's sons became king. And David was still in the waiting. Yeah. It doesn't matter how long it takes, your change will come. Job said, for all the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. Somebody's change is in the horizon. I said, your change is in the horizon. If you believe it, put your hands together and shout, I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, Mephibosheth was disadvantaged. He was cut off from the royal line. And he was supposed to die prematurely. He was supposed to be killed. Because when there was famine in the land, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, "It is the way you have treated the Gibeonites." And the Gibeonites requested for the children of Saul, that he wanted the family of Saul, responsible for their pain and affliction, to be sacrificed. So David saw to it that anyone that was from the bloodline of Saul was killed. Yeah. And Mephibosheth was supposed to die, but God preserved him. Tell somebody, you've been preserved for such a time like this. Yeah. Some of you are looking at your circumstances and how long you have been believing and how long you suffered and waited, and nothing seems to be working, but you don't know that the reason why you are alive and not dead is because God has a plan for your life. That God spare your life for such a time like this. That's why you are alive. You did not die, and you are alive because God has a plan for your life, to use you to touch somebody, to use you to impact somebody, to use you to reach others, to reach you to be a blessing. Come on, somebody, you are not hearing me. I say, you are not hearing me. A lot of you are grieving. You are looking at your present circumstances. You are looking at your bank account. You are looking at your body. Yeah. You are looking at your body. If you look at Sarah, Sarah looked at her circumstances, looked at her body. Yeah. Her breast had dried up. There was no milk in her breast to feed the baby. The womb was dead. There was nothing to offer. So when the angel spoke, she was laughing. She said, "Can I have pleasure in my old age? Can I submit to somebody that what you couldn't do in your youth, you will do it in your old age?" The pleasure, the joy, the happiness, and the satisfaction you were denied in your youth and you never had, I declare by the word of the Lord that you will have it in your latter days. I said it's coming to you in your latter days. If you believe it, say yes. Yeah. God said, "Sarah, I'm waiting until all hope is exhausted." Yeah. I'm waiting for human strength, IQ, intelligence, abilities, knowledge, skill to come to an end. I want everything to be exhausted. Yeah. Then I will step on the scene that men may know that I, the Lord, I am He that makes impossible things possible. Say yes. So God said, "I want Sarah's womb to die. And I want Abraham's body to die." Yeah. "And I will resurrect his body. I will resurrect the organs of his body. And the seed that will enter into Sarah's womb will revive her womb." When the seed I am going to plant in her womb, when that seed enters her womb, it will awake her womb. It will bring her womb alive, that she will know that I, the Lord, I do impossible things. I do mind-blowing things. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why your miracle has delayed, the reason why it's been too long, the reason why it's been difficult, is because what you are about to manifest will blow the mind of your generation. Say yes. Hear me. If you look at most of the mighty men of God, a most of the women in the Bible who were barren. Let's look at Samuel. Samuel's mother was barren, unfruitful. Look at what she delivered. When the Lord remembered Hannah, she gave birth to one of the greatest prophets of all times. It wasn't just any child, any ordinary son. It was a prophetic son. It was a son with great destiny. It was a son that was a game changer. It was a son that impacted his world. It was a son who was a king maker. And nothing he said fell to the ground. Say yes. Look at Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. I was saying yesterday at the church growth, when I was closing it, and I said, we have to be careful about how we define success and what we call success. Because heaven's definition of success is different from man's definition of success. And let me defend my case and argument. Jesus said, John the Baptist, among all men born of a woman, until his blood was shed, John the Baptist is greater than all. That means John the Baptist was greater than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the Old Testament heroes. John the Baptist. Why? He was at the backside of the desert in the wilderness. The voice crying in the wilderness, make ready, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, John the Baptist didn't raise the dead. He didn't perform one miracle. He didn't have a mega church. He had nothing. But he was an intercessor. Among all the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist was the only one who taught his disciples how to pray. In Luke 11, when Jesus' apostles asked him, don't teach us how to raise the dead or perform miracles, but teach us how to pray, as John the Baptist also taught his disciples how to pray. So John the Baptist was a prayer warrior. John the Baptist was an intercessor. Then the Bible says, he said, I will send Elijah, who will go ahead of that great and terrible day of the Lord, to make ready and prepare the way for the Lord. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and every valley shall be exalted, and every crooked path shall be made straight. And then watch this. The spirit of Elijah is what I call the spirit of prophetic intercession. So John the Baptist was an intercessor. And Jesus said, he didn't have a church. He had nothing. But he's greater than any man born of a woman. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, because all he came to do was to go ahead of me through prayer to prepare the way for me to come to fulfill my assignment. And he did just that. He's successful than any man born of a woman. That is heaven's definition of success. A prophet, son of mine, called me, very, very accurate. He said, Papa, I had a vision. In the vision, I saw a lot of men of God. I won't mention their names. He mentioned their names. They were all wearing white. Then he said, I saw Bishop Nyako. He was also wearing white. But his white outshined theirs, and his white was shining like diamonds. Watch this. Then he said, then I saw that he was exalted and lifted above them all. And he said, Papa, what is the meaning of the dream? And I said, that tells you of heaven's definition of success. That even though he hasn't built one church, and all he did was to father and mentor me when I got born again. That was all he did. And all he has done all these years is to pray for me. That's it. He doesn't have a church. Listen, when Jesus comes, it will be scary. Because what you call success is different from God's definition of success. And I said that the two young men who were assigned to lift up the hand of Moses, The Bible said that any time that the hand of Moses was lifted up, Joshua and the children of Israel prevailed against Amalek. And any time the hand of Moses went down, Amalek prevailed against Israel. Now watch this. If those two young men had left their place and left Moses alone and went to establish end time strategic chapel and had 100,000 people in their church Sunday morning, and another one had 1 million people in his church Sunday morning, as long as heaven is concerned, those souls will be saved because salvation is of God. But those two guys will not be rewarded for those 100,000 souls. And number two, if the hand of Moses was down and Joshua and the men of Israel died by the sword of Amalek, their blood will be on the head and the hands of those two men who were positioned by Moses to lift up his hands. Their blood, the blood of Joshua and the men of Israel, would have been on the head of those two men. Why? Because they failed to fulfill their assignment. And the assignment was simple. Be by Moses. Lift up his hands. Support his hands. So that the men of Israel and Joshua will not die. Hear me. It will be very scary when we get up there. Because when we get there, some of you will be shocked. And you realize that there are people doing great things for God. But God hasn't called them to do it. They call themselves. And some of them are doing it out of envy, jealousy, covetousness. And some of them is out of competitive spirit. Proving a point. Want to prove that they are better than everybody else. They don't matter who they hurt, what they do wrong, who they offend. They just want to prove that they are the biggest. They are better than everybody. Let me tell you something. Everybody can be big. Not everybody can be great. There's a difference between greatness and being big. Greatness is the process of longevity. Greatness comes as a result of what you've been through and survived. So we must be careful of what we call success and how we define a blessing. And true success is not where you are and what you have, but how you finish. See, I hear you. It's how you finish. How you finish is very important. Netulahanis. Mayanda lakisis. Take some oil. Quickly, take some oil. Go and anoint it for me. Mada kumadi adisandis. Nekoto madaga ligeristes. Ida kusiba laganda lasa. Idele kreto gosa. Jesus. Adia kamahadi hasusus. Imayanda. Lift up your hand. Just pray in the spirit. Lift up your hand. Just talk to God. Everybody, just pray in the spirit. Malayangu badaza. Nanusa nakiseya. Not now. Not here. Not this way, Lord. Not this way. Not now. Not now. Not here. Not this way. Not this way. Oh, Sadi Hafas. With your hands lifted, just pray in the spirit. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Look at me. Hear me. Anyone who has not yet been fruitful like you ought to be, you are bound to bear fruit. And this fruit you are about to bear has nothing to do with your IQ or skill or knowledge. It has all to do with God making it up to you, even at the latter end of your life. That men may know that this is the doing of the Lord. and it is marvelous in our eyes. God has allowed some things to delay in your life so that when it is done, men will know that it is the doing of the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together and shout yes, somebody. Come on, put your hands together and shout yes. Shout yes. Come on, shout yes. In the name of Jesus. Say, it's the doing of the Lord. It's the doing of the Lord. Hear me. Sit down for 2 minutes. When Lazarus died, they sent a word to Jesus. The first day he didn't go. Second day he didn't go. Third day he didn't go. Because there was a belief and a superstition in Israel among the Jews that when a man dies, from the first day to the third day, there is a strong possibility that they will come back. And Jesus knew that. That if he had come on the first day, second or third day, they will say, this is not a miracle. It happens. It's one of those things. So he waited until the fourth day, when all hope was exhausted, when all superstitions and belief was exhausted. That was when he came on the scene. And then the sister said, if you were here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. Then Jesus said, it's good. It's good you know that all hope is exhausted. That if I had come 4 days ago, there was a possibility. So now that there is no possibility that anything can happen, I want something to happen so that men may know that this is the Lord. Jesus stood at Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. Come back to life. I see dreams coming back to life. I see visions coming back to life. I see businesses coming back to life. I see a resurrection of your life, a resurrection of finances, a resurrection of your marriage, a resurrection of peace and love. If you believe it, lift up your hand, shout yes. 2 Samuel. My God. 2 Samuel chapter 9, 1 to 7. What was meant for you originally, that by demonic interventions, you were denied. Mephibosheth was denied. He was dispossessed. He was disinherited. He was cut off from the royal blood and line. Never to have opportunity to the palace, nor to the seat of power, nor to the table of the king. Deprived. Forever cut off. And because David had a heart of God, Mephibosheth was supposed to be killed. But God, by some special mercy and by divine providence, preserved his life. You should have been dead. You are sitting there like that, looking some way. You can't even clap your hands. You fold your hands. You are looking some way. But God has spared your life for such a time like this, for a reason. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes!
Go ahead. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?
There wasn't supposed to be anybody because they had slaughtered all the children and the seed of Saul because of the Gibeonites. So Mephibosheth was a miracle. You were a miracle. You are sitting there like that. You are a miracle. I said you are a miracle. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. You are a sign to your generation. If you know what the enemy has done and all the attempt he has made on your life, and God prevented it, and God said no, you won't be sitting down there looking at me like a lecturer. Are you hearing me, somebody? Come on, put your hands together. Open your mouth and say something. Say something. Hear me.
When is offering time, eh? When is offering time? If you know the things God has prevented and stopped that were against you and your children and your household, you will give God the biggest offering of all. You will stop giving God crumbs. You will stop giving God no kofio, no ko bibio, bibikitwe, something small. You will stop it. You will give God offerings that when you think about it, you say, what happened to me? Offerings of gratitude and appreciation that meets the level of gratitude God has shown you. But the reason why some of you, you hold back, you tip God, you give God all kinds of crumbs when he has favored you and spared your life, done things for you. Some of you, you are at the point of death. You are at the point of dying. I've seen people at the point of death, and we have to step in and they come back to life. And they can't even thank God well. Yeah. They spend more on themselves and more on their children than they spend on the house of God and the work of God. It's ingratitude. Because you don't know the value of God's mercy and goodness for your life. If you really understand the value of God's goodness and mercy, when it's time for offerings, you will do something crazy. May you do something crazy from today. Amen. Go ahead.
Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?
Kindness.
For Jonathan's sake?
Kindness for Jonathan's sake. I pray that you serve God well. Yeah. And don't serve God for yourself. Serve God for the sake of your children. For you are pregnant with nations. You are pregnant with generations. Serve God for them and not for your sake. Yeah. David so served God that when Solomon committed abomination and stood in defiance of all the ordinances of God, God said, Solomon, Solomon, but for David your father, I would have killed you and divided the kingdom. But for the sake of David, my servant, and the way he served me and all he did for my house, I will defer judgment to your children and I will spare you for the sake of David your father. What makes man so powerful that even after his death, his service to God and the work of God ties the hand of God? And God said, for the sake of David, your father, what I want to do, I cannot do it. Hey! Somebody say, heavy. No. Say it with an attitude. Say, heavy. Yeah, heavy. That is the way I want to be reminded. Remembered. I want to so serve God that heaven and earth will remember me and remember my seed and my seed. That for the sake of your father and your grandfather Nicholas, Malu Atalawasis, lift up your hands, talk to God for 1 minute. Madai Kipahasis, Mayada Kamadili Kabahada Saba, Mama Malu Makadi Asada, Ayala Kutandi Kabahasis. Ileiki tu kabahandi atapasad pasi akatal luka para adikas malanda kufadiki lisapatasa. Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
And there was the house, there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba.
Ziba.
And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said,
yeah.
Thy servant is he.
Yeah.
And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame of his feet.
Lame? Not born. He wasn't born lame. This was one that was born to be a king, but was disadvantaged. Cut off from the royal line. Disinherited and dispossessed. But David had a heart after God's own heart. And David said,
and David said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maacah,
the son of Amiel in Lodoba. Then King Saul.
Even the name alone is scary. It's a very lonely name. Lodoba. And a lonely and a rejected place. But God is about to change somebody's status and somebody's address. If you believe it is you, receive it in the name of Jesus. Mephibosheth's address is about to be changed. His condition and status is about to be changed. When God remembers you, your address, your status, conditions, position, everything changes. I see and I perceive a change in the atmosphere. A change in the atmosphere. Somebody say change, 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 change. Say change in the atmosphere. A wind of change. If you believe it, put your hands together and scream. Go ahead.
Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel from Lodoba. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake.
Somebody say, Yes, sir. Say, Divine compensation. Say, Divine remembrance. Oh, God is remembering somebody. God is about to compensate somebody for all the years you've suffered shame, reproach, disgrace. You've been disadvantaged. You've been unfruitful, cut off from the royal line. Yeah, in the mix of plenty and yet denied. In the mix of abundance but have nothing to show for. God is about to change your address. He's about to change the status of your life. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Shout yes. Go ahead.
And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, aha, thy father.
All. Oh. Your inheritance. I'll give it back to you. He said, what you were denied of. What was yours according to the birthright that you were denied and stripped of and you were disinherited of, I am restoring it. I see restoration. I see restoration. Whatever you've been denied of, God said, I'm giving it back. I'm making it up to you. You remember the children of Israel, when they left Egypt for 430 years, their ancestors were never paid. And God went back, carried it forward, stripped Egypt of all their wealth, and they left Egypt with a great substance. Somebody say, great substance. I see you coming into great substance. It's happening this week, this week. Yeah. Listen, anybody that has anything that belongs to you is returning it in the name of Jesus. I said it's being returned in the name of Jesus. Say, I take possession of my possession. I take possession of my inheritance. Put your hands together. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Take possession of my possession, of my inheritance. Amen. Go ahead.
And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually.
At where?
My table.
At where?
My table.
Con what?
Continually.
Con what?
Continually.
That was where he belonged. Originally, he was meant to eat at the king's table. But he had become a beggar. Reduced to the status of a beast. Denied and stripped of all things. And David said, you will eat at the king's table continuously, not once in a while, not every now and then, but continuously. I'm restoring your original status to you. I see you coming back to your original status. What is originally yours is being restored unto you. He was meant to eat at the table of the king. He was supposed to be a king and deprived and denied. He had become a beggar. He was at the mercy of others. He had become a prince, walking barefooted and servant riding on the back of horses. And God said, I will show you kindness. You may not have the throne, but I'll give you the same privileges. And overnight, Mephibosheth became a multi-millionaire. Overnight, he became a trillionaire. Overnight, all the wealth of King Saul was given unto him. Listen, I see an overnight anointing that would take some of you from nothing to somewhere, from nowhere to somewhere, from nobody to somebody. This thing, it will be overnight. Come on, somebody. Thank God for an overnight breakthrough, an overnight blessing. Put your hands together. Thank God for overnight blessing and an overnight miracle. Hear me. The Bible said, it is not by might, by skill, by IQ, intelligence or knowledge, but it's by my spirit, said the Lord. What God is about to do, it will cause the heathens to marvel. Your enemies will marvel. You yourself, you will stand in awe, because you will acknowledge that this one has nothing to do with your IQ, your skill, your intellect, your hard work, your knowledge. You will recognize that this one is the hand of the Lord. Somebody say, the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord. Put your hands together for the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. Come with me to Genesis chapter 8, 1 to 4. Genesis 8, 1 to 4.
And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him.
When God remembers you, he doesn't just remember you alone. He remembers everything that concerns you. Yeah. Every living thing and creature that was with Noah, God remembered it.
Yes, sir.
God is not just going to remember you only. Anything you care about, anything that concerns you, to show you that God cares. Some of you, you are doubting whether God cares or not. Because if God cares, why have all this happened to us? God will prove to you that he cares. And it's not just about you, but everything that concerns you, God cares about it. I command in the name of Jesus, divine remembrance, that God will remember you and everything that concerns you. If you receive it, put your hands together, open your mouth and give God praise. The Bible says that the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Yeah. I think it's 38:8 or so.
Check.
Psalm 138:8. 138:7 or 8, one of them. Yeah, that is it. Yeah. 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 Yeah, this computer Bible, it still hasn't possessed me. Yeah, read it.
The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me.
Uh-huh.
Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands.
The Lord will not forsake you. I have been young, now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Our children will not beg for bread. Our children will not beg for bread. We will not be forsaken of the Lord. He shall perfect that which concerns us. Go ahead.
The fountains also.
Yeah.
The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped.
Genesis 8.
And yeah. The rain, verse 2. Genesis 8 from verse 2. Okay, let's go back to verse 1. And all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made the wind to pass over the earth.
The wind. Say the wind. Oh, the wind. The wind stands for change. The wind stands for change. I see and I feel and I sense the wind of change in the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, thank God for the wind of change. There is a change. There is a turnaround. Put your hands together. Thank God for change. The wind of change. Something is changing. Something is turning in your favor. You know, I was telling her at the first service that Ife's new song she just made, the tables are turning in your favor. It's not a song, though. It's not a song. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. Yeah. I know what a song is, and I know what prophecy is. Because when I go deep into prayer, when I go deep into the depths and into the fountains of the deep, when I finish prayer, the song that comes to me at that frequency and altitude of prayer is the tables are turning in your favor. It's a prophecy. Tell to people, it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. If you receive it, put your hands together and shout. Go ahead.
And the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained.
I declare, let any evil hand and any flood against you be stopped in the name of Jesus. Say, I stop it, stop it, stop, stop, stop. Say, the enemy will not proceed any further. There will be no further complication whatsoever. By the power of Jesus' name, of anyone in my house, I secure the deliverance of my house. Go ahead.
And the waters returned from off the earth continually.
Let the flood go back to sender. I said, let it go back to sender. Let the attack return to sender. Say, back to sender. Go ahead.
And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated.
We abase it. We command the waters to be restrained. By the power of Jesus' name, say, I restrain the attack of the enemy on my family, my marriage, my husband, my wife, my loved one. I restrain the attack. I was telling them at the first service that love is pressure. Love is what? Pressure. When I was younger, I thought that love was feelings. I thought love was love. You know what I'm saying? I feel you, brother. Yeah, I feel some way. The chemistry. Yeah. As I started growing, I realized that love is not feelings. Love is pressure. I thought life is cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I thought as I was growing, life is going to be cool. Life is pressure. Yeah. Pressure. You are looking at me? Yeah. I was telling one of my daughters, I said, every single brother and sister must move in and stay with a young couple who just married like 5 years ago and they are making their babies. They should go and stay with them and understand marriage before they marry. Yeah. Because some of you, I want to marry. Marriage is pressure. And a lot of you, you think marriage is what you think. Marriage is not what you think. Marriage is different from what you think. As a man thinketh, so he is. You are programmed to think that marriage is some way. So when you marry, the reason why your marriage is not working is because you have a preconceived idea about what marriage is. Marriage is not what you think. Marriage is pressure. Marriage is responsibility. Pressure. Yeah. Pressure. Yeah. Pressure. You get up in the morning. You want to do number two. And your husband is in the bathroom, sitting on the same thing. And you say, baby, how long is it going to take? I don't know. And he or she is on social media, texting a friend and a brother. And you have to go. And you say, baby, I have to go. You see, I'm coming. How long, baby, I'm coming? Pressure. You know, when I was young, I used to say anything I feel like saying. Yeah, I'll talk, I'll say it. Yeah, as long as I feel I'm right, I will say it. These days, I don't say everything. No. Yeah, I just hold my peace. Yeah, I just hold my fire. Because I know I'm right. But if I say it, there'll be war. I'm for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So I have learned, it's not everything I say anymore. Yeah. So everything I say. Yeah. Sometimes Rosa will dress and say, how do I look? Wonderful. How is my hair? Beautiful. I'm buying my peace. Don't go and tell her. Then, later on, when we are relaxing, she said, so how is my hair? Tell me the truth. I said, can she cut it small? Then she said, but why didn't you tell me then? I said, I couldn't tell you. It was Sunday morning. I was going to preach. Right now, if you fire, I can handle it. But Sunday morning, I can't handle it. So, yeah, you were beautiful. You are still beautiful. But let her cut it small. Yeah, simple. But when I was young, I would say everything. I would just say, why is your hair like that? Basa, like that. What is wrong with you? Can't you just get it right for once? And she said, hey, my hair is basa. You too. Look at yours. Yeah. Yeah. So now, it doesn't matter how right I am. It's not everything I say. How was the food? Very delicious. Meanwhile, the salt is... So I'll eat it like that. I'll eat it and drink water. Yeah. And fill my tummy. Yeah. Then the next day, when they ask me, what do you want to eat? And I said, this time around, the salt, if you can reduce the salt. So how was yesterday? I said, oh, it was fine. It's just that the salt was just a little above what I expected. Why didn't you say it yesterday? No. Today is a better day. I talked to my my son-in-law, my daughters-in-law, I advise them a lot. Yeah. I can tell when there's sayu. Nobody has to say anything. I can tell. I can look at my daughter and say, how is it going? Fine. And I said, no. It's not well. Look at your face. She said, but how do you know? I said, I've been on the road for a long time. I'll talk to one of my sons. I say, son, he said, don't say, everything is fine. I said, everything is fine, eh? I see. I said, okay, let's worship. Let's worship. It's difficult to worship when you are angry. Yeah. Try and worship and see when you are angry. So I say, let's start this way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then, as they are singing it, I can tell. They begin by humming. Yeah. And I won't push you. I'll say, listen, I'm here. When you want to talk, I'm here. I won't push. I said, whenever you want to talk, I'm here. Let's talk. I will say everything in those days.
And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
Ararat means the curse is reversed. I declare that the curse in your life is reversed. Your mother's curse is reversed. Your father's curse is reversed. Your family curse is reversed. The curse is reversed. If you believe it, put your hands together. Scream! Now, the Bible said, and the ark rested. The ark rested. The Bible said, after much war, God gave David rest on every side. And the land rested from war. Your ark is resting now. I command your ark to rest. Your marriage to rest. Your body to rest. Your business to rest. I see a season of rest coming for you. You are entering into the season of rest. If you believe it, put your hands together, scream. Now, I'm going to stop here.